Here in the U.S., and especially Boston, we have a history of building right up to the shoreline without really thinking about flooding or climate change. Along with our partners at the Ground Truth Project, we've been looking at how to deal with those risks in our series, Rising Tide, Boston Underwater. Today, WGBH Radio's Rupa Shenoy reports on lessons New York City has learned the hard way.
When Hurricane Sandy washed over Manhattan 4 years ago, the city's oldest seaport on the Lower East Side bore the brunt.
You can go to the coffee shops and you can see the line, the sandy line, almost above my head, 6 feet high.
Michael Porto of the nonprofit Waterfront Alliance walks past tourist shops still under reconstruction.
It's going to get really loud here.
If this were Europe, these buildings might not have been rebuilt. Some low-lying cities there, like Rotterdam, made peace with encroaching water long ago, turning coastlines into things like hilly parks meant to flood.
You have these homogeneous countries like Netherlands that have the ability to do whatever they want at the waterfront. And we look at that enviously sometimes.
Because deciding the future of New York's waterfront has been complicated.
I don't know. I think it's the American spirit. It's sort of the build back better and stronger. I don't think anyone is really retreating.
New York did make sure that everything that got built after Sandy was better prepared for a flood. The city passed 16 new building codes, and Porto's group of more than 900 waterfront stakeholders created a list of voluntary additional steps developers could take to floodproof.
What we do at the waterfront matters for everyone behind you as well. If my building is flooded and doesn't protect the leading edge of a storm, everything behind it gets flooded too.
Buy-in to this flood-forward thinking has been widespread. Several blocks west, Richard Anderson stands between the twin World Trade Center Memorial pools, where it also flooded.
Everything in New York City has changed as a result of Hurricane Sandy.
Anderson's president of the New York Building Congress, made up of developers and construction companies.
Every public agency, every private development organization, every real estate organization has changed the way they manage buildings, design buildings, build buildings to take into account the fact that it could happen again.
That's been challenging and painstaking, Anderson says, but that's okay.
Don't forget, we got a lot of work, huge amount of work, billions of dollars was being spent. So we're not complaining. Too much of development in the past, frankly, has been irresponsible. And we in the building business should be the first ones to say where not to build.
Other American cities that haven't experienced a disaster have been slower to come to a consensus on building in flood zones. Many are experiencing building booms along coastlines without the same stringent floodproofing regulations in place as New York. Boston, a city regarded as a resiliency leader, is still crafting new rules for consideration. Boston doesn't have the same storm surge flood risk as New York, in part because it's protected by islands. But its risk will increase as sea levels rise. That's what senior climate advisor Bud Riss of the Barr Foundation told an audience at the New England Aquarium last month.
With all of that development taking place, it's pretty hard for me to see really any solution for this area other than some kind of structure or barrier around at least some parts of it to try to keep the water out many decades from now. Does anybody know where GE is going to locate on this map?
Riss points to a plot of land next to the water.
Right there.
Squarely inside a flood zone. 3 months ago, General Electric announced that would be the location of its new international headquarters.
GE being the green company it is, I think there's an opportunity for them to do something really creative and visionary here. Presumably, their lawyers have checked the maps and know where they're going to locate.
GE says it's still working on its plans, but they do want to collect rainwater on the site, have resilient infrastructure, and use solar power. Beyond the cost of those measures, building in a flood zone shouldn't be more expensive for GE. Take insurance, for example. GE won't pay more because of the increasing risk of flooding due to sea level rise. That's because rates are based on what's happened in the past, says Jay Gwynn of risk analytics company AIR Worldwide.
Doesn't mean that senior executives at insurance companies are not concerned about climate change. They certainly are. But in terms of actual pricing it in, to the best of our knowledge, it's not done actively.
Insurance rates would skyrocket, though, if a storm like Sandy ever hit Boston to reflect the cost of rebuilding. Jamie Torres Springer says that's what happened in New York. He's a consultant who worked on that city's recovery and is now helping with Boston's resiliency plan.
Sandy happened. There was $20 billion in damage and disruption, significant loss of life, and Congress appropriated about $50 billion.
That's money enough to recover and become resilient, he says.
And Boston, having not had a tragedy like this, doesn't have that funding.
So Torres Springer says Boston can only plan instead for long-term incremental progress. The city should target resources to vulnerable areas, he says, and try to protect them in multiple ways.
Because there's so much risk in cities and it's so hard to adapt, the idea is you got to work in layers.
That's why New York is also investing in a large-scale project proposed by a Dutch firm. It's called the Big U because it calls for a system of hills along the coastline, forming a U around Manhattan. The hills would keep water out and double as public spaces. City spokeswoman Amy Spitalnik says New York has $335 million in federal funding and is set to break ground on the project by next year.
And that's a pretty quick turnaround for an infrastructure project of that scale.
Spitalnik says some might call that a silver lining to a very devastating event. Rupa Shenoy, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
Thank you, Rupa. It's now 7:40. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition.